This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the glue that's going to connect what you want to do strategically. You've got an idea, you've got a concept, you've got something that you know is so necessary to the success of your organization. Are you going to try to implement it in a chaotic fashion and take the chance that you just might get it done? Or would you rather have somebody at the helm of that initiative who can dramatically increase your likelihood of success?
This is Resource Center. I'm Audrey Raj. The voice you just heard was that of Randy Black. And the glue he's talking about is project management. Why are we talking about project management? Well, the Ministry of Education recently recognized project management as a key 21st century skill. It's even included project management into our National Education Blueprint. But is education enough to prevent project failure? And why exactly do projects fail? And how do we prevent them? I'll let Randy explain the rest.
My name's Randy Black. I have the distinct pleasure of being the chair of the 2019 Board of Directors of the Project Management Institute. PMI is a global institute dedicated to the advocacy and the promotion of project management as a profession. And as well, PMI, it provides a catalyst or an opportunity for organizations to be able to improve their project management, as well as for individual practitioners to focus upon gaining new skills and capabilities to be better at that profession. My personal background, I've spent more than 40 years of being a project manager. I have been a project management professional for the last 15 years of my career, and a volunteer with the Project Management Institute for the same 15 years. I've worked in a variety of different industries, including telecommunications, information technology, construction, energy, both oil and gas, as well as electrical. And most recently, I've been running my own corporation that consults in project management, and we also teach in project management. Project management is really about the facilitation of people who have been put together into a team to deliver a valuable output that an organization desires. When I say facilitation, project managers don't do the work of the project. They're there to organize and facilitate the team to be able to accomplish the value that an organization desires. Whether it's a financial value, a product or a service, or it's a social value that a government body would deliver, they're there to make sure that the organization gets the outcome that it desires as effectively and as efficiently as possible.
But project management is not unique to just large or complex strategies organizations hope to implement, right? Maybe you can give me some examples of more minor ones that shape an organization.
Absolutely. When we think of, as you said, when we think about projects, we think about mega projects, mm-hmm. like building the two bridges from the mainland to Penang,
right.
or building a new aerospace facility just outside of Bhutan. End result, those are mega projects that, yes, we have to pay attention to. But think about your organization isn't very connected socially. So you've decided to run a company event where everybody teams together, does something social together to get to know one another. That's a project.
Mm.
Somebody has to organize it, plan it, run it, and make sure that the value that the organization wanted was actually going to be accomplished. The other part It doesn't even have to be about an organization. It can be things that you're doing personally. Think about planning a wedding, holding a wedding. It's an event, but it's a personal event. Our children at school nowadays, they talk rather about, instead of homework and assignments, they talk about school projects. And so the skill to be able to manage those projects and bring that into the language of everyday life is becoming much more common globally.
And why do projects fail?
Combination of reasons. First one, somebody somewhere has decided how much budget you need to do the project without ever understanding how much is really needed to do the project. So we fail because we're trying to fit the size 12 foot into the size 6 shoe, and that doesn't work well. Second thing is poor sponsorship. Leaders who really don't support the project and the project team, because they may not understand the importance of their role to ensure that the project is going to be successful. And the third thing is a lack of planning. A lot of organizations will do a little bit of planning and then run off and try to execute the full scope of the project. Planning is a good point in time to decide what can we accomplish within our budget or within our time, and what is really valued. So we might reduce the scope of the project to fit into time and into budget. So those are the biggest factors that do cause failure in projects.
I understand the PMI released a Pulse of Profession report last year, and in it claimed that when proven project management practices are employed, organizations experience greater success. In fact, these high-performing companies wasted 21 times less money than underperforming counterparts. So how much of an impact does project management have on an organization's bottom line?
Well, you've actually done taken the numbers right out of my mouth. We define organizations that have that kind of leverage of project management, 21 times better results or less dollars wasted, based on what we call champion organizations. A champion organization is an organization that has embraced project management and has become much more mature in the practice of project management. Those organizations may not do everything that they do by projects, but where they are doing projects, they have the right skills, the right tools, and the right support to make sure that an organization is successful. Our Pulse of the Profession report, we began publishing the Pulse of the Profession report about 6 years ago. Was the first version. And the end result of that document is we are giving good advice to organizations about things that they should consider. And it's fact-based, not anecdotal, not opinion-based, but fact-based, and shows value of project management to organizations.
What about on a smaller scale? Say, small and medium enterprises, mom and pop businesses, how can they use the same skills to effectively manage their projects?
Yeah, project management skills isn't just for big corporations. They're scalable skills. So if you're a small organization and you understand how to do projects, end result, you are being very effective and efficient in the use of the limited resources that that organization has at their disposal. The other part, people do have this impression that it's only for big companies. Mom and pop shops are actually the places that most need it. When I think about an intrapreneur or an entrepreneurial startup within a marketplace, mom and pop shop that has skills in project management, they can organize themselves, undertake the right things to do. So they're going to do some really tough examination of what projects make sense for them to do versus other things that might be nice to do. And end result, it increases the success rate of those small businesses succeeding. When we look at statistics around new business failure, very low percentage of organizations actually survive their first 5 years.
True.
And that's because in most cases, they choose anecdote and a lack of planning, they just react as their way of being able to operate their business. Project management is a tool that needs to become a life skill, not just for big companies, but a life skill for everyone.
And on a wider scale, Randy, project management can also have a great impact on countries and different segments of a nation's economy. Maybe you can give us some examples of projects done right, or maybe some strategies gone wrong and their impact.
It's easier to tell you about those things that are gone wrong. Most organizations try to hide their big failures, but unfortunately, those failures end up in the press very easily. There was an example in Denver, Colorado, where they were automating their baggage system, and they did not have very good connection between the software and the mechanical devices that were moving the baggage around. In the first few months, they made the decision that they had to go back to a manual system until such time as they could correct their project. Another example of a failure was within the French rail system, where they built brand new stations and platforms. They bought brand new rail cars, but nobody had ever put the two together. And what ended up happening was they discovered that the height of the platforms was too high for the rail cars to actually enter into the stations. They had to go back and retrofit every rail station that had been developed to that point in time. Project successes, and we have to define what we mean by a project success. If you think about a larger program like NASA putting a man on the moon, a lot of people might say, well, there were some failures. You know, the famous movie Apollo 13 was, in fact, a huge success in that they learned how to bring a man back from space or men back from space under disastrous conditions. Actually being able to physically have a person land on the moon was a huge technological success, especially when you think that the computers that they used on board that spacecraft when they went to the moon in 1961, when President Kennedy gave that challenge to the American people, computers of that size did not exist. The computer that they would have needed would have taken up a room for computing and for cooling equipment about the size of an average soccer pitch.
Wow.
So trying to get that into space might have been kind of difficult. And two corporations put their brains together and came up with a mini project within the larger program that was highly successful. And of course, we today have benefited from that by the fact that we now have computers in our hands that we can use day in and day out.
When we come back, we talk about best practices and the kind of soft skills you need to be an exceptional project manager. Resource Center will be right back. BFM 89.9.
Benchmark for Managers, BFM 89.9.
This is Resource Center. I'm Audrey Raj. It's the 50th anniversary of the Project Management Institute, and that's why Randy Black is on the phone with me today. Randy is the chair of the 2019 Board of Directors at the Project Management Institute, and he's in Penang for what is also the 25th anniversary of PMI's Malaysia chapter.
I have come a long way. I'm very happy to come a long way to participate. I was actually here for two events, PMI runs events globally called Leadership Institute meetings, where we celebrate and also educate our chapter leaders. So I was here for the Asia Pacific Leadership Institute meeting, which was held here in Penang. As part of that event, we also celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Project Management Institute. Our institute was established and legally registered on October 3rd of 1969. So this year, we are celebrating the success and the vision of our five founders, and we will be celebrating in Philadelphia, the birthplace of PMI, this fall.
Randy, you just mentioned leadership. That is one of the major soft skills that are required for a person to be a better project manager. What other soft skills are necessary to be a good project manager?
I think you've hit on you're right. The key one is leadership. But if we take a look at what we really need to be a good project manager, it's to be able to connect effectively to the human element, those people that are on our teams. So things like communications, both written as well as verbal, ability to facilitate people, to motivate people, to also, and one of the soft skills that we are seeing is change management skills. And when I mean that, when I talk about that, I mean the ability to be able to make sure that the project is put into effect by those who are going to use its outcome in the best way for the needs of the organization. The number one skill I think a project manager needs is something called empathy. To be able to understand, to be able to put yourself in the shoes of your team, your sponsors, your customers, so that you can be effective in delivering the outcome that your organization needs. A good project manager asks the question why before they begin the project, and then they look for the very best way to be able to undertake that project.
And soft skills aside, are there any guidelines or rules on best practices for project management?
Yes, there are. The Project Management Institute in 1969, when we started out, we didn't really have a set of rules, a guideline or a practice for project management. In 1981, they published a document called the Project Management Body of Knowledge. It was the basis of a standard in project management. It provided guidance around tools and processes and areas of knowledge that a good project manager should undertake in order to, at some point in time, attain certification. Now, that best practice, it's not a methodology. It's the things that you need to think about when you're going to manage a project. And a very good project manager tries to understand best fit. What does my organization need? What tools should I be using? What types of paperwork and documentation should I produce to be able to manage, control, and report on the successful completion of that project? So the Project Management Body of Knowledge, even though it is a very extensive document, it is the heart of being able to manage a project effectively, but a good project manager, a great project manager, determines best fit to the needs of that organization.
And where should we start in educating organizations or businesses about project management? I mean, do we start at the top, our senior leaders, and a top-down approach the best way to go?
I would like it to be a top-down approach, to be quite honest. But most organizations, the executives of the organization, view project management as a down-in-the-weeds or down-in-the-trenches type of skill and profession. PMI is recognizing that until such time as the C-suite of an organization really accepts the concept of managing a project as being beneficial to them, that the penetration of project management skills within the organization may be challenged. With that in mind, PMI has begun an initiative with the Boston Consulting Group called the Brightline Initiative. This year, we were a host at Davos for the World Economic Forum, and we are also a mainstream host for a lot of the TED Talks that are occurring globally. The penetration or the acceptance of project management by those who are actually managing projects is going up dramatically in the world. When I first joined PMI as a practicing professional in the early 2000s, we literally had less than 80,000 certified project managers globally. Mm. We're now almost to 1 million certificate holders. So the growth in the last 15 to 20 years has been significant. We would like to see that continue as an organization, not just for PMI, but for the benefits that it can accrue for corporations and countries around the world.
Speaking of the training and certification that PMI provides, how do these programs impact a person's capabilities and career growth? And is it just for people who are designated project managers?
Great question. In fact, PMI is dedicated to the idea that even people who need to be aware of project management or are part of project teams should be trained in what project management really is. If you come into a new profession or you're dealing with a project and people start using language and jargon and three-letter and four-letter acronyms, you can quickly become lost. PMI does not necessarily provide the training. We are a channel. We have partners who deliver training. Both our local chapters, like you have here in Penang and in Malaysia, as well as registered education providers, companies that are professional in training in project management, that are also certified by PMI to be able to deliver training globally. The end result is it provides an opportunity for people to increase their skill level, and that skill level, as recognized through certifications, becomes something that they can take to the marketplace when they're seeking new opportunities. The Project Management Professional Designation, or PMP, is the most widely recognized certification in project management worldwide. So whether you're in Malaysia, or you're in the United Kingdom, or you're in Australia, or you're in Tanzania, when you show that you hold a PMP certification from PMI, it speaks volumes to your knowledge and your skill level and the opportunity that for efficiency and effectiveness that that creates for the organization for which you're undertaking the project. Whether that's a government or a for-profit or a not-for-profit organization.
For more information on PMI's professional program and how their education foundation is helping project management professionals achieve changes they desire in their organizations or even in their small businesses, go visit www.pmi.org.
My biggest advice to them is think of project management as the glue. It's the glue that's going to connect what you want to do strategically. You've got an idea, you've got a concept, you've got something that you know is so necessary to the success of your organization. Are you going to try to implement it in a chaotic fashion and take the chance that you just might get it done? Or would you rather have somebody at the helm of that initiative who can dramatically increase your likelihood of success? If I'm a president or a CEO of an organization, I know that when I undertake a new strategy and I go to implement it, that my head's on the line. If I'm not successful, I'm going to be the one that's going to suffer first and the most. I want a project manager in charge of that project, that implementation, because of that huge increase in likelihood of success.
That's a wrap for another episode of Resource Center. On behalf of Randy Black from Project Management Institute and myself, Audrey Raj, thank you for listening. This is BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.